Okay. Very good afternoon to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So now is after your meal, we will start the second session, which is Dhamma sharing. Do you got any particular topic that you would like to develop understanding? You can raise your hand, and I will speak on it. But before that, I like once again to thank all Kayanamita for attending this house dana of Brother Freddy and Sister Alicia and family. Then together, we get to partake in all this wholesomeness and goodness. Then I will now maybe chant the blessing first, so that it can benefit everybody. I understand some are leaving early because of India trip, some are commitments to go home. So turn to page 14, turn to page 14. This is a sutta on blessings. Auspicious blessing, Sumangala. So I read the English version before we chant so that you all can develop the understanding. So page 14, Auspicious blessing. May all misfortune be averted. May all sickness be healed. May no danger befall you. May you live long and happy. May there be blessing all round. May all the deities or devas protect you. And by the power of all the Buddhas, may you be blessed with happiness and well-being. And may they repeat for Dhamma and Sangha. May there be blessing all round. May all the devas and deities protect you. And by the power of all the Dhammas, may you be blessed with happiness and well-being. So the third gem is the same. By the power of all the Sangha, may you also be blessed with happiness and well-being. Then they invoke the Paritta virtue. So by the power of all this Paritta virtue, may no ill come to pass through cosmic force, demons, powerful non-humans, or opposition from planetary antagonism. May all misfortunes cease to exist. So these are the power of Paritas. Then finally they invoke, may all Buddhas, who are powerful, and with whatever power there is of the silent Buddhas and the Arahants, may there be protection in all aspects. So this is a very important Paritta chanting that will invoke the power of Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha, all of the great beings, all the Buddhas, all the Pacheka Buddhas, all the Arahants, including all the great beings, like Bodhisattvas, for protection and auspicious blessing. So now we will chant the Pali. For those who understand, you can chant together. For those who may not understand, you can try to follow using the chanting book. Okay. Sabbe tiyo viva jantu Sabbarogo vinasatu Mate pava tuantrayo Sukhi digayoko bawa Bawatu sabba mangalang Rakkantu sabba devata Sabba buddhanu bhavena Sada soti pavantute Pawatu sabba mangalang rakkantu sabba devata Sabba dhammanu bhavena sadha soti pavantute. Bhavatu sabba mangalang rakkantu sabba devata. Sabba sanghanu bhavena sadha soti pavantute. Nakatayaka buttanang papakaha nivarana. Paritasanu bhavena hantuati sang upadave. Sabbe buddha bala patta pacakanang ce yang balang. Arahantanang ce tijena. Rakkhan badami sabbaso. Sadhu. 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 So this is a very important auspicious blessing. So off and on, when you go on spiritual trip or when you are at the temple, you will hear this chanting by the monks. So it's actually invoking the protection of Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha and all the great beings. So that it will pave the way for all this karmic negativity to be avoided. There are a lot of things in life that can bring about calamity, problems, situation and other things. Sometimes it's due to the non-humans, the demons. Sometimes it's due to planetary movements. And sometimes it's due to karmic, human consciousness and all those things. So these are the dhammas that the Buddha had come to understand. So in order to assist living beings, to help them, the Buddha has come up with this style of paritta chanting, to help you to develop the understanding that you have to actually take care of your life. Apart from your own cultivation, you also need to invoke power of Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha for protection because of your sadha and your virya, your faith in the Buddha, Dhamma and the Sangha, your affinity. So all this can give rise to a lot of powers or what they call wholesomeness that you know to invoke them. It can bring forth the causes and conditions for all this to help you when you go through life. Otherwise, there are a lot of things that living beings will encounter. Then especially if you don't take care of karma, a lot of things can bring forth karmic friction that can result in suffering, affliction, and misery. Especially the mental aspect of it. The main door, can somebody just close it? Because the aircon may escape then the light. Thank you. Okay, now it's about coming to 1:30. So if you got any particular topic or question that you would like to develop further understanding, you just raise your hand. Any particular aspect of the Dhamma or meditation that you need me to maybe share as a topic for today? Oh, Alicia and Freddie to say a few words first. Come. Alicia, come. Freddie, where's Freddie? You can say a few words first. Then later on, anybody got any particular topic to suggest, you can.
Hello, Brother Teo, Mrs. Teo, or Kaila Mitas. I'm very touched. 而且， Thank you, everyone, to take the trouble to make it here. I was full of joy.我真的很感动，就对了，你们真的是太好了，谢谢你们带了这么多好吃的东西来，谢谢你们感恩感恩，就是感恩了，不懂得讲什么。
Brothers and sisters, I believe all are full. Yeah. First of all, I'd like to thank you, Brother Teo and Mrs. Teo, for all the years of sharing and teaching. And I think my family, my wife and me and my family has benefited a lot. At this moment, I would like also to thank all the Kalimita sisters, brothers who are here or those who are not here also. Somehow or other, they also participate here and there to make the old house Dana a successful. Words never say, I cannot say more, but anyway, once again, I would like to thank all. Yeah, thank you.
Sadhu. Yeah. You should all rejoice, because just like all Kalyanamitta, Freddy and family, especially Alicia, they have benefited a lot from the years of sharing. So as everybody knew, earlier on, Alicia got some problem leading to depression over a period of time for 16 years earlier on. So those years were dark years, miserable. But because of the understanding, it's all due to karmic from the past. Then when they start to understand the Dhamma, they start to understand how this mind that is caught in all this karmic negativity through ignorance, through delusion, over the many, many years of existence, can actually just step out of it when you develop the clear understanding of the Buddha Dhamma. The Buddha's teaching is so simple, actually. So maybe I will use that topic for today's sharing. So the importance and beauty of Buddha Dhamma means the teaching of the Buddhas. Actually, you look at the Dhamma. Many of you initially may not understand what this teaching is all about. So as typical Buddhist, if I'm not wrong, most of you come from Chinese tradition, belief system, and you call yourself Buddhist, but your family background, most of you don't have proper Buddhist understanding of the real teaching of Sakyamuni Buddha. And because of that, every family, every one of you, after you go through life, you experience a lot of ups and downs. Then before you really have the Dhamma understanding, you tend to react to a lot of this situation. And at times, for people who are not so fortunate, who don't have the good karmic past, life can be pretty miserable. They actually are afflicted for most part of their life. They go through a lot of suffering, mental agony, phobia, fear, worry, anxiety. They have to confront a lot of challenges. Just like just now, Mrs. Ho or Madam Ho, before she left, she used to, like, in a way, joke with me. He said, "Brother Teo, very sorry." He said, "So old already, still under the control of people." That is what she always complains. She want to come out like you all. She can't, you know. The family member put a lot of pressure on her. not to say that they purposely put pressure on her, no. It's like their care, their love, they are concerned about her. But they express it in a way which they can't understand. Yeah, they think this is good for the mother and the son, or good for Madam Ho. So everything she wants to do, because at her age, she's scared she like make mistake, no? Meet the wrong people, misled by people, take advantage by people and all those things. And at her age, they also scared for her safety and all those things. So they try to monitor each and every move. She like in a way captivated. Although they gave her a driver, they gave her the what they call transport and all those things. But she got no real freedom to attend all the things that she wants to attend. She likes to come to my class. She likes to join the house dana. But then every time there is this hidden type of pressure in inverted comma on her. She cannot even tell them that she is coming to the house dana, or she is joining Kajamita for those activities. So at times she got to make use of Jennifer to fetch her and take her out. Then within that short window, she got to go because she got to be back. Like today, she need to be back for the family lunch. Then I told her, this is Dhamma. You don't worry. When you understand, you have to accept this reality. Because this comes from the past karmic conditioning. Like the Buddha said, whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. And that causes and condition is mainly karma. Because the Buddha already explained in the five daily contemplation, the final one. He said, we are all born of all karma, heir to all karma, conditioned and supported by all karma. We are what we are because of all karma. So this one is not only what you do to your children, understand? So this one is what you as children do to your parents or your grandparents. Or sometimes as spouse, you try to use authority to control in a inverted comma way, because to you is you think it's for her good. You try to limit their movement, their activity. Then like she said, so already still subject to people's control. She is not free to do what she wants to do. So if you reflect back on this, you should count your blessing now that you at least don't have that problem. You want to attend Dhamma class, you can. Especially those that are not married, of course, very happy. Then nobody to control them. But there are pros and cons. So like her case, I explained, because this is what you have done in the past. In the past, you were like your grandchildren, your children, and your spouse. You also control people. You also limit people's movement and all those things. That's why when you become parents, like the Buddha said, you have a duty. When you become children, you also have a duty. Of course, duty towards all of your loved ones, even to your employee, your employer, your friends and all things. So this right duty is right Dhamma. If you don't understand this through your action, karmic negativity and delusion, you think it's good for them. But your action actually caused them a lot of suffering and misery. Just like now what Madam Ho or Mrs. Ho experienced. Then I told her, in the past, when you did all this, you also didn't know, just like your children, your grandchildren or your spouse. They also think it's good for you. But you suffer.
So in the past, what you did to people, now got conditioned, it come back to you. When you understand this, you should not react, stir your mind and become afflicted. That earlier on, she cannot understand. But over the years, she slowly developed the understanding. Because life is such, you have to confront the reality. Whatever that happened in the past, you cannot change. These are the realities. What you can do is, with wisdom, you accept this reality, at peace with it, then resolve it amicably and move on. Just like what Ingby advised her was very good. Just like I overheard when she was advising Madame Ho, which is very good. If you can resolve all this amicably and not to create an issue out of it and develop suffering or affliction, then all this can be resolved amicably. Then you need to ask for forgiveness, repentance, you do. Then you need to make determination not to repeat all this so that there will be no future karmic conditioning for you to be afflicted. And to do that, you must follow the advice of the Buddha. Avoid all evil, do good, purify your mind to develop wisdom so that you know what to do. And this is basically the Noble Eightfold Path teaching that the Buddha is trying to teach you. That's why Noble Eightfold Path, which is the fourth noble truth, if you cultivate it, it will lead to the end of all suffering. It will help you avoid all karmic negativity. Because you avoid evil, then you avoid karmic negativity. Then you cultivate goodness and wholesomeness, like today, the house dana, you partake. There is so much wholesomeness, so much goodness, so much auspicious event and condition. And all this is going to be your karmic inheritance, your parami. And this is going to create wholesome friction in the future instead of indulging in heedless activity, heedlessness that arises, the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion that leads to karmic downfall. Then the fruition of it is, if you plant the seed of evil, you reap the seed of evil. If you plant the seed of wholesomeness, you reap the fruit of wholesomeness. Then when you purify your mind, you develop wisdom so that you are sensitive. The sensitivity of the mind is very important. But this is what the Dhamma is all about. If you don't have mindfulness, don't have this sensitivity at the mind level or mental level, you actually cannot understand life. That's why mindfulness is very important. For mindfulness is life. Without mindfulness, there is no heedfulness. And without heedfulness, you are as if dead. Dhammapada verse 21. So, without mindfulness, there is a lot of things you cannot develop. Because without mindfulness, you cannot see your mental intention. You cannot even keep your precept. Cultivate wholesomeness, avoid evil, all this need mindfulness. And when mindfulness is stable, then only you can be heedful. To be heedful, you have to have the quality of continuous mindfulness, ever mindful, very stable mindfulness. To cultivate Noble Eightfold Path means to develop right view with regards to the nature's law that governs life and existence, like law of karma, law of mind, how you function as a human being, how your mind operates following dependent origination or the dwelling. But it's just an opener. And to see all the essential Dhamma clearly and the Dhamma Niyama. Then only you can have right view, leading to right thought, right speech, right action and right livelihood. Then only there is this ability to purify through the four right effort. Then you can develop that stability of mindfulness to be ever mindful, leading to heedfulness. When you are ever mindful, samadhi will develop. Then you can see things as they are. Then you can develop all the Noble Eightfold Path factor. And this is how you can transform your life and move on.
So when you understand this, cultivation become very easy. Then today, maybe I will explain further so that you can understand better about the cultivation. Yeah, this was the recent contemplation that came about. This nature was trying to understand why living being find it so difficult to understand this teaching. I mean, to this nature, it's so simple, so clear. But living beings that are deluded really find it so difficult. But then even a lot of Buddhists couldn't understand this teaching. So I was trying to reflect and allow this nature to arise some understanding so that it can be helpful for you all. So over the last few weeks of sharing, I started to develop this contemplation which is very useful. Actually, the teaching can be understood very easily if you apply just simple common sense to your life. Then the Dhamma will surface. But to do that, you need to have mindfulness so that your mind can have that same level of sensitivity to feel at the mind level. You remember I used to explain to you all, when you have suffering, when you have problem, the reason why human being cannot resolve it or overcome it is because they hold on to that problem. Remember? Yeah? They say, this is my problem. I have to resolve it. So what they do? They hold on to it. They worry about it. They think about it. And this is accumulation through memory. That's why it continuously conditions you to grasp, cling, and hold. But then that type of suffering is mental level. You cannot feel it, understand? Because you are not sensitive. You don't have sati. You don't have mindfulness. So that is where the problem is. But the moment you have mindfulness, it becomes very simple. You are so sensitive, you can feel it straight away. So a very good analogy is like, I give you an analogy. I say, if let's say this problem is something very hot, a very hot, molten thing that can burn you and torment you. The moment you touch it, you know it's burning you and tormenting you. What will you do? Common sense will naturally ask you not to hold it anymore, isn't it? Because you feel it, isn't it? Because that physical body feel it. But how come at the mental level, when all this mental attachment, clinging and grasping through memory that project your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation leading to depression, all this, you cannot see? Because this is at the mental level. It's not something that your physical body can feel. Then of course, you will not touch. Yeah. It's just like when your bladder is full, what do you do? Yeah? You naturally will go to toilet and release it in there. Then when you have stomach problem or certain health problem that you can feel, you will naturally know how to see a doctor there, or go and seek medical advice to overcome your problem. Then when you are hot, you're on the fan, you're on the aircon, you know, to make you feel good and comfortable. And these are common sense, you know. True or not? But how come when it comes to Dhamma, which is at the mind level, you cannot see? It's just like when you use a knife. You use it to cut yourself, harm yourself, hurt yourself, and hit out at others. That is the wrong way of using it. Means you don't love yourself. That's why you need this style of analogy to show it to you, so that when you are mindful, you are sensitive. You can feel how the words you use
Because when you say certain thing, if you are sensitive, means you have the Dhamma. How can I say that? Because if people say that to me, if I don't have the Dhamma, I will also be afflicted. I will also feel angry, unhappy. Then when you arise all the mental negativity, when you are selfish, when you are angry, emotional, violent, deluded, you can do a lot of things that lead to karmic negativity. You can harm people. You can kill people. You can actually breach the marriage trust of your own spouse and family members. And it can lead to so much suffering and karmic negativity. That's why when you are sensitive, you cannot do, understand? This is all stupidity, delusion. So when the mind has this ability, then it will understand, then it will not do. That's why you must have mindfulness to be very sensitive, to feel for people, to understand what is love. When I love somebody, means what? Like my children, my loved one. I care for them, I can sacrifice for them. I can do a lot of things for them. This is what love is all about. But when love can become negative, which is the opposite, anger and hatred, then there is no more love. Then there is the egoic mind that attach and cling, that has this delusion to own thing, to have thing. Then through attachment, positive and negative, you get yourself afflicted. You use your own thought process to harm yourself, hurt yourself, make yourself miserable. Then sometimes through the anger, the hatred, it is an evil root. Root of all evil. It makes you evil. Then you start to plan, scheme, and take revenge, and hit out at others, plot, and do all those things. And this will create more and more coming negativity. Well, these are evil roots that lead to downfall. So if you don't train your mind to have sati and mindfulness to be sensitive of all this, you cannot cultivate Buddha Dhamma. Because these are all common sense things. When I see clearly with my mindfulness, the mind that is silent and aware, when I have the sensitivity, then I realize this is a tool, T-O-L, for me to use, to live life, to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life, because this is my thought. Through the form and mind, karmically conditioned out for me to come to this world, to use it, to experience it, for the good of the many. So I use it to arise the right thought, wholesome thought. So the use of thought is important. If the user of thought don't have wisdom, right view, sensitivity, then it doesn't know how to use thought. Then thought become negative. Thought become evil. That's why the Dhamma cannot manifest. Then heedlessness comes from the delusion, the lack of sensitivity, the lack of mindfulness, the lack of the understanding of this very simple teaching. It's just like I say, it's common sense. When you see all this negativity, you will never do it. You will never allow your thought to make you miserable, to condition your misery, suffering, affliction. That's why you will start to contemplate clearly. Why am I this way? What does the Buddha mean when he says these are wrong thoughts? Thought that you shouldn't pay attention to under Sapa-Asava Sutta. Things that are unfit for attention, your mind's inclination, you don't set your mind to think along that direction. The direction of anger, hatred, envy, jealousy, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, selfishness, cunningness. So all this you will start to understand. No wonder the Buddha said these are all wrong thought that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your selfishness, your karmic negativity, your emotion, your hatred, your violence, your envy, your jealousy, your insecurity, your fear, and all these things. So when you are mindful, sensitive, and when you can see that these are all wrong thoughts, then like I always advise to make it simple so that before your mindfulness is there, the sensitivity is there. But when you cultivate mindfulness, when it becomes very stable, very clear, the slightest movement in your mind, the slightest light or dislike, you will be aware. And it cannot arise anymore because the sensitivity is there. And through the wisdom, you will never do all those things again. That's why all these are actually common sense. But we call it wisdom because that mind without mindfulness is really insensitive, understand? When it's not sensitive, it's not like a physical body where you can feel the red hot thing burning you and tormenting you. So because of that, you see the great importance of cultivating this silent mind to be sensitive, to be mindful, to be aware, to feel for living beings, to feel for yourself, to understand what is love. And when you truly love yourself, you will not harm yourself. You will not hurt yourself using the wrong thought. That's why I always teach you all to detect. Whenever you are not peaceful, not happy, the evil roots are there. You have become heedless and suffering will arise. So this is a very important aspect of the Dhamma, of the cultivation that you need to understand and develop. And the moment you are mindful and heedful, just like the Buddha said, you are destined for enlightenment. Because after that, everything is common sense. Common sense means what? You're hungry, you will look for food. When your bladder is tight, you will find ways to release it. No need to have wisdom on all this. It's a natural response because you feel it. It's harming you, hurting you. So when you have constipation, when your body is not right, that's why you have nerve within your physical body, the system, to actually alert you through pain, through numbness, through all the various feelings. Then you know it's not normal. Then you need to seek help. Then you need to avoid all those things that lead to all these things. So these are all common sense which human being can do, provided it's like the physical body. You can sense them, feel them. But when it happens at the mental level, a lot of living beings, when they are in the midst of depression, sorrow and lamentation, affliction, great intense suffering and fear, but because they are not mindful, they still don't understand that mentally they have been afflicted and they have suffered so much. So this is the reason why Buddha Dhamma become very difficult to understand, is because they lack this quality of mindfulness, the sensitivity of the mind to feel for yourself, to feel for others. To feel for the environment. That's why man and nature, there must be harmony. Whatever that has disharmony leads to conflict, leads to problem, situation. So when there is harmony, there is wisdom to accord and to flow. There is no more opposite. So when we go through life, it's the same. We are sensitive, we have the wisdom and the understanding. We can accord and flow. We can accept everything just the way it is. Everything as natural, like the Buddha said. There are causes and conditions behind. First thing first, you have to contemplate it this way. And these causes and conditions, the Buddha has explained, it has everything to do with karma. So when you accept that, you are at peace. You no longer stir, react, and create evil roots. There is no more of this greed, hatred, and delusion. Then when you have this understanding to be at peace, there is clarity, there is understanding. Then you can, through your own understanding, mindfulness, and sensitivity, ask yourself, how can I accept this reality and move on? How can I resolve all this amicably? Then you realize Noble Eightfold Path is what the Buddha has taught you. So you have to reflect and contemplate until you understand the Noble Eightfold Path. That's why without Noble Eightfold Path, you cannot develop the wisdom to liberate your mind to free. Suffering will be there. That's why whatever meditation you do, if it doesn't bring you back to the Noble Eightfold Path cultivation, then that is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So this is the aspect that I find missing, because many living beings just don't have this mindfulness to be sensitive to things. Because most of the living beings, they have not trained their mind, they are heedless, they think a lot. They cannot be even silent for a moment. And for them to have one moment of peacefulness is very difficult. They find it so difficult to have a moment of peace or silence. There is always thinking going on. And this thinking is the result of heedlessness, delusion. So this aspect need to be reflected, contemplated, and understood very clearly, so that you can determine to develop all this mindfulness, especially daily mindfulness. Then when mindfulness is there, it will lead to heedfulness, and you are destined for enlightenment. It's very easy. Then everything becomes like common sense. You actually technically after that don't need teacher, because you can see it, you can feel it. Then the teaching like very easy to understand. No wonder the Buddha called it the three evil roots, root of all evil, make you evil, make your coming fall, give rise to suffering, affliction, sorrow, and you can see them all. Then all of the opposite, which is virtue, right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, they lead to wholesomeness, goodness. Then all of the good quality of mind, the spiritual faculties, the factors of enlightenment. Then you also have the three, non-greed, non-hatred, and non-delusion, leading to all the virtue. Your gratitude, your contentment, your respect, your kindness, your goodness, your generosity, and all of your sincerity, your faith. And all these are very, very virtuous, very beautiful mind states that can make you beautiful. Then there is this love, where you not only understand what love is, you will know how to love yourself, your own form and mind, then other form and mind, other living beings. Then when there is love, there is no opposite negative. Love is just love. That's why with love, everything can be overcome. Everything can be like understood. And it can take in all. Because this is what the world is. Without love, the opposite is very, very scary, very disruptive. Without love, all of the negativity, the opposite, they will manifest. Envy, jealousy, hatred, anger, dislike, cunningness. Then all this will lead to coming negativity. Then the fruition of it will lead to affliction. Like the Buddha said, we reap what we sow. Whatever we do to people, it will come back to you. If you plant the seed of evil, the fruit of evil will come about when condition arise. But if you plant the seed of wholesomeness, goodness, kindness, gentleness, pleasantness, you will reap those fruit. People will be good to you, kind to you, pleasant to you, helpful to you, love you, respect you. Likewise, when you do the opposite will come back to you. Like you cheat people, deceive people, take advantage of people, control people. When you are very possessive, full of jealousy, full of anger, hatred, in future you become the victim. People will be jealous of you, envy of you, hate you, control you. They want to do all those things back to you because these are the karmic conditioning that you have planted in the past. Then when there is condition in the future, it will manifest and you will become the victim. You will experience all this that you did to people. And this is what karma is all about. That's why it's common sense. So if you want your life to be orderly, if you want your life to be beautiful, meaningful, so that all this karmic negativity will not strike you back, will not bring forth the causes and conditions for it to arise in your future life coming. And then you have to be mindful, heedful, not to create the condition for all this to arise. And if you continuously do this type of cultivation, life after life, just like the Bodhisattva vow that I've given you, to have this right understanding of who you are, what you are, and the three great right view with regards to law, karma, law of mind, and dhamma niyama. So if you have this affirmation and understanding life after life, then you can cultivate this way. Then over a distant future of cultivation, your nature will become very beautiful, very different. And every time you come, you are like very blessed, you are like very lucky, but there is no such thing as luck. Then you will have all the good life, the wholesomeness of life, like everything is so beautiful, so meaningful, like you are so blessed with everything, like your form and mind is very well protected. That's why I say we always seek blessing, protection, and guidance from our spiritual masters, teachers, all those great beings that this nature of ours have affinity with. We should thank them life after life for all their blessing, guidance, and protection. Protection is for the form and mind. So when you have this understanding, your life can really transform. And your nature, your karmic nature, your spiritual nature can really become very different. Then later on, you can become a blessing to all. Then when your time is ready, you can manifest in whatever form that you want to, through your understanding, to come to the world to be a blessing to all. Then you do your work to serve humanity and all the other beings that have affinity with your nature. The way you receive, you rejoice, then you give back. That's why all this will continue to unfold. And the world consciousness will transform. Then when you are in the midst of this type of cultivation, you will have a lot of Dhamma friends who walk the path of Dhamma with the same understanding and cultivation. Then as per the vow that, or aspiration that you have made, as advised by Sakyamuni, when we always post puja chant, Imina punyang kamina, mame bala samagamo, satang samagamo hotu, yawan ivana patia, means we aspire for causes and conditions by the power of punya, means whatever merits, blessings and wholesomeness that we have. We aspire for causes and conditions for this nature of ours to constantly avoid the foolish, meet up with the wise, so that Nibbana can be realized as soon as possible. And this will bring forth the causes and conditions for you to always meet up with the wise, avoid the foolish. But when you make aspiration, you must understand. If you don't understand, no point. Just like I said, you aspire to meet the Samasambuddha when he arrives, but you never understand who he is. So no point. Like you aspire for causes and conditions to avoid the foolish. But who are the foolish? You don't know. You didn't make it a point to understand who are the foolish and heedless. And who are the wise ones? You can't even differentiate between these two. You aspire like parrot. No use. Understand? That's why you aspire to meet the Buddha. Maybe you are born during that time. You met, but you cannot recognize, because you don't make it a point to recognize, to understand clearly who are the foolish and heedless, who are the wise one, the enlightened one. So Dhamma is like that. The essential Dhamma are very important. You have to develop clear understanding through contemplation, second turning, until very, very clear. Then whenever you arise, you come, you will have this understanding. Your mind can become sensitive through that mindfulness training. That's why you have to determine to be ever mindful, leading to heedfulness, to cultivate, to have those right view, life after life. So that you come, you connect early, you don't have to waste time. Otherwise, this cultivation is very difficult. Like I always explain, when the sasana is not there, it's so difficult to have the causes and conditions. To have this understanding again. And the sasana is only a very small window within the universal time. Even Sakyamuni one is supposed to be 5,000 years. Then because of the bhikkhuni order, cut short by 500 years, about 4,500 years. But then 4,500 years compared to billions and billions of years, it's just a small window within. And like the Buddha said, the arising of a Samasambuddha is so rare. Sometimes in the whole world system, there is not even one Samasambuddha. But there are some world systems which are more lucky and fortunate, like ours, Saha world. We're supposed to have 5 Samasambuddha. Even 5, but it's spread over so many billion years. At the moment, it's about 10 over billion years. We have 4. So divide by 4, maybe. You can assume about 2.5 billion years. You have one Samasambuddha arising in this world cycle, which is a very lucky one. And 2.5 billion years compared to 5,000 years. That window is so small. Then out of that window, almost 2 billion years minus 5,000 years, there is no sasana, darkness. They call it the, what they call dark ages. You know what is dark ages? Mo fa si dai. Where the Dhamma undergo decay. No more Dhamma. The dark ages. And without Dhamma, this world, this universe, is is full of suffering and misery. Okay, maybe today I will just share up to here. If you got any question, you can ask. Yeah, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah, you all can rejoice. Well, I have a drink. Yeah, today one is short, less than 1 hour. sweet and short. Good. Yeah, you go, Susan. Yeah, I knew quite a number have to leave because they got things to do. You going for India trip? Oh, no wonder. Yeah, you had to fly off the next day, on the 6th. Yeah. So I wish you all the best. Have a good trip. Also, to Joyce, they all. Sadhu. So develop more heedfulness, mindfulness. Then be more sensitive, feel. Always remember, not all the sitting is a conditioned state of mind. You may feel very calm, very peaceful, very good. But after that, you have to come back to life. You cannot develop wisdom out of it. It doesn't help much. So, have to meditate with understanding. Develop mindfulness more and more. Then you will understand all this. Then when you can be heedful and mindful in the midst of life, not only when you are meditating in a formal meditation way or formal way, formal posture, or in a conducive environment, then you will understand the real meditation is so different. It's important, and there are time to sit. You have to go through it. But it's not all about sitting, and sitting alone will not free you. But when you sit with understanding, you can reflect and contemplate while sitting. The mind can be silent. You can lie down. The posture is more conducive. Then when you lie down, your energy is free. Then very easy to get the free mind. Otherwise, you have to maintain with jhana, concentration, or anapanasati to hold that mind so that it does not run. But those who have the daily mindfulness, you check with them. They can just lie down and no thought. The mind is just silent and just stay there. That one can understand. That free mind can develop understanding. Then you have to use that stability to come out to have that type of mind state in the daily life. Then only that free mind which don't have any energy field or condition to suppress the mental hindrance, then only you can see whether defilements are still there or not, whether you can cope with life or not, whether you can be mindful in the midst of life or not. I like that Mandarin saying. You see, you can be like what the Zen say, 意念清净. Maybe I can MB to explain. 意念清净. With every thought, you can be in stillness and silence. Means in the midst of your daily life, when you arise a thought, you can be in a state of stillness or silent. Means every thought will not become heedless. And understand? It will not proliferate. Qing jing, you know, not qing jing sing. You can be with the moment in that silence. That every moment of arising of thought, you can have this ability to go back to that stillness. Understand? Means your daily mindfulness is already very stable. 意念清净. That's why I say you can stay the moment of feeling, stop there, but no word. Or when you are at the moment of perception, you can stay there with clarity. Then the mind want to move, it moves. You're fully aware. That's why every thought, 意念清净. That's why 起心动念. Understand? That one you understand? When the mind arises, you create sankhara,
when you create Sankhara, you cannot be in stillness. But when you have the real Samadhi, every moment you can be in stillness. That's why even with every thought that arises, you can go back to stillness. It's not, wow, it can be done. Because when you are in the lying meditation, you can do that. Understand? The thought arises, you go back, stay there already. It doesn't pull you anymore, distract. But that is in the form of meditation. That's why you ask me about Samadhi in daily life. That's why I say you have to do the daily mindfulness until it's so stable. Until you have specific phenomena without a center. Oh, sorry, specific phenomena and the spacious phenomena. Awareness. Specific phenomena awareness and spacious awareness without a center. Until all this is very stable, then you can. The mind can become like that. Yi nian qing jing. Ah, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So it's not about sitting and all those things. It's about the free mind having this samadhi. Because it's born of wisdom. That's why you understand. It does not get distracted. Memory, everything, got no power over it. Yet it understand all this is sankhara. And sankhara nichang. Sankhara dukkang, very clear. That's why it cannot move. You want to know, it knows. You want to be aware, it's just aware. It's always with the moment. Okay, sadhu. Very good, sadhu. Okay, you all can go, Susan and England. Yeah, thank you for joining us. We rejoice. good. So now less people, better. More informal, you can ask me anything. I can sit near a cup. We can make it more informal. No need to be formal anymore. We can discuss anything on the thing. Move it sideways.
Sadhu,
因为你讲太久好了，到我讲了啦。对，我也要喝茶了。谢谢你。
其实我搬家，很好的 training for mindfulness， 因为每一天我就是要看到一大堆东西，你的 mind 又要看住那个东西，你不要有任何的就是 aversion， 其实也没有了。就是每一件事情你就一个一样一样一样的去做，然后人家把门关上了，玻璃门关上了，你的头撞下去那个玻璃门，你也说啊，对，原来是我自己不小心。然后我的老板就说，你都没有埋伏，所以你就撞玻璃咯。然后我就看到我的埋一点要上来了，然后我就
要争了
然后我就讲OK， give yourself a break， 过赛 walk one round， 然后回来又再接着做然后你的 mind 就没有被 stir up 了这样子
very good。
然后
then also there's one part she mentioned just now which I want you all to learn is there is always situation and problem that demand you to attend to or resolve all those things. Then like shifting house, I can tell you there's a lot of things to do. You can ask those who are in this industry, especially PG, a lot of problem or a lot of hitting on here, like there, like the owner not happy, then a lot of idea on what you do like that, stupid, you could have done like that, cheaper, some more better, so. Then the worst is your husband tell you all, or your wife tell you all. So all this is not easy to endure. Then apart of that, from that, you got your business, your career, you got your other things that you want to do. So there is so much thing, like a lot of problem. And sometimes you got to write them down, otherwise you cannot cope. So like, have to go to bank, have to worry about exchange rate, have to attend to the house issue problem, this contractor coming, the subcontractor coming, the ID coming, got to go and see sample and all those things, make sure the delivery is proper, then need to pay bill and all. There are so many things. So you tend to be like affected. Wow, if I known that it is such messy and headache thing, I would not have agreed to the shifting. Ah, then you finish it, you get a lot of problems. But the decision is you make the decision. And all this is nothing if you understand, like Alicia said, slowly resolve it one by one, understand? Without aversion. This is cultivation. This is noble eightfold path, no negativity. Means you write them down. The only thing you have to understand is you have to resolve it one by one. Understand? Don't argue about it. Don't let it suspend and hanging. Then you forever hold it like a problem. Understand? Then you will argue. Just give example. You say, Freddy, told you to pay, you forgot to pay. Now the creditor is chasing. Then Freddy unhappy. Cannot. Means all this thing, minor thing, I always tell my wife, important thing, even minor thing, like very easy to resolve. Pay bill, just pay, unless it's a wrong bill. Even wrong bill also don't argue. Check, then just resolve it. So when you do this one by one, you realize every time you make decision, it will be resolved. Every time you make the decision, it will be resolved. But you don't go and hang on to it. Okay, I will do. Then again, forgot. Then okay, I will do. Again, forgot. Means you're not serious. You did. So to me, end of the day or beginning of the day, I look at the thing that I can resolve. I resolve first. Understand? Like certain things, just inform people or pay bill or agree. Finish. Because sometimes during the early day, I also used to own. Thank you. Shop lot, condominium, and all that, and you know, got a lot of tenants and all things, then agent coming. And I tell you, that time I was still working, full time. And in the office, 1,001 thing. They say it's a madhouse, 10 engineers, so not enough. So, how are you going to cope? But I still cope. But to me, it's very simple. This is the reality. I had to resolve it. I resolve it. Then, one by one, I just resolve it. Then I realized, not so difficult. Everything is just resolved. I resolve it with understanding, amicably. I need to standardize, I standardize. Then sometimes I was spiritual trip and all those things. No need to plan one. No need to worry one. Things will fall into place as long as you are sincere. Then as long as you have the understanding. Because this nature understands. Meant to be got conditioned, then you will agree to the thing, then they will organize, then everything will fall into place. Then sometime before we go, we already knew. Then when we are there, everything just unfold, manifest and become beautiful. Then we just accord and flow. Then you just resolve things one by one. Even our Putao Sun trip, Hermes Sun trip, you see, so beautiful. In between, we of course also encounter situation and problem. But through patience, through understanding, it get resolved one by one, and it turned out blessing in disguise, and many things actually. And there was one trip, I remember, Sui An and me from the whole, Utai San one. The organizer that organized our trip, booked our ticket, everything. 1 or 2 weeks before we fly off, about 1 month before we fly off, I think. Suddenly, we got this news. She was leading one Buddhist trip to Ladakh. And the accident, she was one of them that was killed, went to the ravine. So, all the Kayamita money also paid already. Then, they panic. First thing they contact me, Brother, you know or not? I say, no what? He said, our that tour agent, the Buddhist one. Well, I met her, and she was a good kamali. She took the trouble to actually buy me and some of the Kayamita lunch on two occasions. Then I said, don't worry, we do what we have to do first. Go and attend the wake first and find out their situation. If they need help, we help. Then try to find out and whether any of the family member or colleague or the company there who knows about this tour. Then, you know, we were so lucky. She actually, before the trip to Ladakh, she finalized everything for us, no? And she told the brother, no? He said, after Ladakh come back, I will be leading this Brother Teo's Buddhist group to Uthai San and all those things. So the brother got all the information. So when we attended the wake, the brother, when we introduced ourselves, said, oh, you are the Brother Teo's group. Oh, you don't worry. My sister has a file on your whole thing. And I will contact the company. He said, give me a few days after the funeral on the way. I will let you know who will be the new guy to take over, because she's supposed to lead us. She is a very good tour agent. She works there actually, but she organized this private tour for Buddhists, and she's very sincere. She put in a lot. She planned everything very well. Then there's another lady took over, I think. And that lady also turned out to be very good. And just imagine, who could have imagined that type of trip can still go on? And it turned out to be a blessing, and it still finally not only turned on so beautiful, that trip. That was the trip made me connect and gain a lot of what they call benefits from it. Then I think Suya and me from that time. Was it your first spiritual trip with me? So beautiful, everything turned out so beautiful. And there was one incident, we're supposed to go up the hill, we cannot go up. They were having some misunderstanding. I think the government official wanted money, or then the tour agent from China one doesn't agree, and because it involved quite a lot of money. Call the boss, cannot get the boss, then told our local agent. Then I saw my local agent, that girl also worried. Then I asked one of our Kayamita who helped me on. Go and talk to them, find out what's the reason. Then she came back and report to me about the problem. I said, very easy, we resolve it here and now. Then that China tour agent are very scared now. You mean you are the one to go up? He said, I cannot explain to my company, I don't bring you up. You have to sign a paper that you agree not to go. No? Then I got no money to refund you. I said, honestly, I said, you don't worry. Because I checked the schedule already, you know. I say, if we go to Uthai San early, we will avoid the dark traveling at night. And I said, no. Luckily, we went there early. You know, the road was so winding. No, we arrived there early, a few hours early. So it's a blessing in disguise. That's why I say, when condition is like that, you accord and flow. Don't bulldoze through and all those things. Then somehow, after that, the China side one, I was so happy. Every lunch and meal, he asked her, enough food or not? If not, I can add for you. Because they save the ticket to go up and all those things. So they don't have to pay for all those things. Really. So that's why, finally, they actually were very happy with us. Then, I didn't know, sometimes they book until the China side, Tao Yu and the girl, they don't have room to stay. We're fully booked to the room. Then somehow we have to resolve to. They are bound to be such things, so you don't worry. Like I said, all this is not a problem when you don't perceive your negativity and fear. You accept that these are reality that can be resolved. You only have to make a decision to resolve it amicably. Then everything will flow. Like Alicia said, one by one, resolve it. No negativity. That is the cultivation. Understand? Otherwise, you keep on panicking like normal, heedless living being. Then argue. And the worst is to argue. Then when you bang here, bang there, luckily this is a new house. No? If it's an old house, I tell you, the non-human also cannot tahan you, I tell you. They say, who the hell are these new people? Like, no give face, they say. You know, just now the dog, why he bark? I was joking with Clifford. I say, the dog was just command, is it? All these people are the guests of my host. I am the dog of the host. Every day I meet them one. I also haven't eaten. You all start eating already. That's why I bark here and there. So you have to be sensitive. So sometimes you have to explain to them. You're the kid. Sometimes they don't understand. The dog also, they don't understand. So Dhamma is like that. And you are sensitive and you feel you don't get unhappy with the dog. A dog is just a dog. Even you get angry, he cannot understand you or she cannot understand you. Then who suffer? You suffer. But you understand her and you just smile. Oh yeah, if normal human being like the dog also will feel offended. And I'm the host, good friend. Or they kept me as a pet. Every day I meet up with them. Oh, this host just come in. They take everything. Then didn't even allow me to have my food. So this is part and parcel of Dhamma. When you understand, do not react, do not get angry or unhappy, accept the reality, then with clarity and understanding and right view, resolve it amicably, make decision, resolve it, move on. If you don't believe me, you go and check all your problems. They come about where you don't know how to resolve it. Understand now? You allow it to continue to be left unresolved. That's why it will come and haunt you, continuously give you headache and problem until you dare not face them. Especially creditor. Last time, when Alicia told me once during the early day when business was not so good, the creditor actually, she said she know them when we are dealing business. The creditor call up 8 times. You know what is creditor? Choi so one. Yeah. You all call one in Hokkien. Yeah. Tui siao one. Yeah. He said until she herself the pine say. So give reason until don't know what to tell them already. But luckily didn't get angry then. Just be sincere about it. I really can't pay you now because we really don't have the money. But you promise people to resolve it. And if they can feel you that you are sincere, they will give you a chance. Then later on when things turn around, she paid and they were so happy. That's why you have to understand all this. Sometimes you are with this type of situation, you have to endure, you have to endure. Sometimes it's like, people can just abuse you through the phone, no? Tell you all sorts of things that you don't like to listen on, no? Especially some creditors who are very fierce, but luckily not that case of us. Someday they can tell you, they kao ma kwai, every now and then call you, you tell me an excuse. Then they will get angry and violent. So you still have to mitigate. If that is the situation, then if you know that this is your karmic past, in the past as creditor, you also very aggressive. You also did this to people. That's a no-go condition. You get back all this. So you have to apologize sincerely and say, really, really, I will make it a point that when I have the money, I will start to pay you. Then, of course, you have to show some sincerity. Whenever you manage to get some cash flow, at least you pay the person a bit first. Then tell her, I will contact you if I really have a problem again. Then make sure you contact them. Then they will feel good, understand? At least you make it a point, you are not trying to run away. Then every time need them to chase you and all those things. So this is part and parcel of Dhamma. We let Alicia continue. I think this story, it's like she said, a lot of Dhamma behind, mindfulness.
Yeah, Buddha Dio was very lucky to meet up with Buddha Dhamma because last time if I will have a house party, 3 days I cannot sleep. My mind will be, you know, keep thinking, what are the first thing when I wake up? What are the things I'm going to do? But mind was not so disturbed. I mean, very, very... wake up in the morning, you just do whatever accordingly.
Correct.
And then
very natural.
Yes.
你不会觉得去赶。Yeah, 对。紧张那种。
不会说紧张，而是你把每一件事情一件做完。
就处理处理不了。
对，处理每一件事情。然后好了，然后。
很感恩。
感恩。然后就还有十分钟还可以 lie down meditation 十分钟。然后又起来又再
continue. You are able to do that. Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah. 这个就是
very true.
布达达玛的哇，我不可思议，
yeah.
真的很感恩。
Yeah, 很好。
就是。
That's why every moment of silence is so meaningful, so beautiful, and you can just take your time to rest. And while you rest, you can go into the silence, the meditation. This is what mindfulness is all about.You don't have to sit there, anapanasati, or try to arouse the calmness and peacefulness, then only become peaceful. No need. The moment you silence your mind, you are already in peaceful, still, no movement, nothing. Your mind is so different. That's why mindfulness, spiritual faculty, can transform a living being. Very, very.What I should say, beautifully. And that transformation is instantaneous. You don't have to wait. The moment you already train, skillful, have that ability, it's just like when you are very skillful in the way you cook your food. You don't need to remember another sana. From the way you start on the wok, when you put in the oil or the garlic, or when you start to fry the aroma, you already know correct or wrong already. Even if the ingredient you bought not the same, you will know it one because it's different. That is experience, that is understanding, and you become so skillful, you just know how to cook. So in a similar way, of course not exactly, the spiritual training is the same.When you become so skillful, when your development of the understanding of it is so clear, so stable, then everything is just very, very simple, very beautiful. Then you can execute it anytime. You don't have to wait for peaceful condition, nice setting. You don't have to wait for Cameron Highland to be in that state of mind. Okay. In the midst of activity,busy street traffic or whatever, there can be silence, there can be stillness. The mind is the mind. That's why my teacher always say, inside okay, outside no problem. Inside not okay, outside big problem. That's why you must have heedfulness, mindfulness, leading to wisdom, understanding. Then your mind become very different.Then your life becomes very different. Then everything you see, there is joy, there is understanding, there is happiness. Thing is just the way it is. It has to be this way. That's why it doesn't understand negativity anymore. There is no more fear, no more worry, no more anxiety. Because everything is just not what living being think. That's why sabbe sankhara anicchang, sabbe sankhara dukkang, sabbe dhamma anatta. Very clear, no?If you contemplate until the wisdom is like that, then nothing can disturb you and affect your mind state. Then the form of mind becomes so beautiful, very connected to this understanding. That's why when you have this Buddha Dhamma, mindfulness and the heedfulness, you can really live life to the fullest. And like the Heart Sutta say, 真空妙用 with this understanding of true emptiness,You can experience the wonder of life, wonderful living. So life can become truly wonderful, meaningful, and beautiful. Then every moment of activity, every moment of mind states that arise, is so beautiful, so meaningful. Then there is no more like last time, worry, anxiety, heedlessness, where the thought keep on struggling with whatever that is going on. So like there is so much thing to do. No, thing is just the way it is. When there is condition, it will be like that. So you understand, you accept, and you do according to that understanding. That's why you act according to understanding. No more acting according to memory, conditioning, views, opinion, and belief system. No more. Good. Continue. Sadhu.
Visiting. 他们就是在我的 background 那边讲了很多，叭叭叭叭很多，哎，这个不要讲，这个不要。可是我就是这里很近很近，就是他只是在 background 那边嘎嘎嘎嘎嘎嘎嘛，我根本就没有一点反应，而且我还觉得我很近，就是那种感觉，就是不懂，很近很近很近，就是。
The nature is so still because it has the understanding. And it cannot be disturbed by what people say or gossip or whatever. That's why that mind that is already have the understanding and the wisdom with that type of stability will not behave like normal mind anymore. That's why the heedlessness is no longer a vocabulary within that cultivator. It cannot stir and get itself entangled anymore. That's why the real cultivation is not what human being think, not what living being think. You don't go and try to cut that feeling, huh? Let go, don't want to get angry. You know, there is no such thing, man. When you don't have wisdom, at the moment of sense experience, which is yoniso manasikara, you cannot cope with life. Because our six senses, they arise and pass away so fast. You wait for time to cut. Who cut? The thought want to cut. Thought that is deluded with craving. Want to cut off craving. Want to let go. Cannot. Because you are trying to suppress and control your emotion. Where you think by not getting the mind angry or react, you can overcome it. This is suppression, this is controlling. There is no wisdom inside. But when there is wisdom, there is no movement. That's why, like Hui Ning say, 本来无一物，何处惹尘埃? Originally, there was nothing inside. No craving, nothing. Then where can the dust alight? The dust alight because you don't understand. You say, this one is defilement. I had to polish until it shine so that no defilement or no dust can arise. So you every time try to suppress, control, and prevent all this negativity of mind state from arising. But there is suppression, there is not wisdom. When there is wisdom, you don't have to do anything. But I used to say, the moment you understand what happened, you cannot hold on the sana. You are free. The person who don't hold, do you need to let go or not? You don't need to let go, isn't it? Only the person who holds need to try to let go. And there is the thought telling you. Now you understand. That's why when inside here no movement cannot cling and cannot be affected, there is no need to like ignore them. Don't have to listen. This is all still your thought telling you, you know. They are like that one lah. This is still the thought telling you, understand? Huh? But the real cultivator is really no movement. It no need to, through the thought, justify, understand? Huh? But when you want to share with people, you have to teach them how to develop this type of wisdom. The Buddha says, see things as they are. They are just the way they are, understand? Huh? You understand? And then if you reflect and contemplate until this one become very clear, stable, then the moment the perception through the hearing consciousness, when it arrives, this sankara, straight away you know, sankara anicang, sankara dukkang, sankara anatta. No meaning. Then it cannot arise. Then there is no fighting at the mind level, understand? There is no thought that want to do away with it. The one that want to let go is the mundane mind. Through the back door become active again. That's why there is not wisdom, there is knowledge, Dhamma. And that is not the one that can free you. The one that can free you is after you have developed the wisdom through the contemplation or through the direct seeing, the awakening. The moment you're inside the phenomena, you see clearly Sabbe Sankara Anicang, that everything is Anicang, not only Sankara. Rupang also like that, the form, mental form and physical form. That's why you have to reflect a new regular. Rupang Anicang. Then because Anicang, Rupang Anatta. Then Vedana also like that. Sanya also like that. Sankara also like that. Vinyana also like that. That's why all these five become very clear. That's why the monk at that time, they chant. Rupang, Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, Vinyana. They are all impermanent, Anicang. Then they are all, if you don't have the wisdom, it will lead to suffering. And because they are impermanent, lead to suffering, it cannot be a permanent and changing entity where you can call this is me, this is I. Therefore, it's non-self. Empty, not real, not what you think. That's an empty nature existence. 真空妙有. So all this understanding, they will manifest. And the real cultivation is not what living being think. That's why you don't go and note and do all these things. You just develop the spiritual faculty and make sure your mindfulness is very stable. Then you will understand by yourself. It will insight into phenomena. Then you contemplate and reflect until very, very clear. Then that wisdom will actually transform you. Then you are incapable of what the heedless used to do. Because connected to that wisdom, that form and mind is no longer deluded. That's why you can understand. Then no word. It just doesn't stir, doesn't move anymore. That's why the Buddha said, you will come to understand how the arisen, yeah, mental hindrance or evil root, yeah, cease. Then how not arising anymore in the future. That's how you will see all this, exactly as per Satipatthana Sutta. You will come to understand how in the future all this will not arise anymore. Because of that wisdom, that understanding, it's not knowledge. Knowledge cannot free you. Okay? Very good. Huh? We should rejoice. Huh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Anybody else want to share or ask any question? Hui Rong. Push over the other side. Okay.
Okay. 就是你 understand 的一些事情之后， 你会， 当你沉淀了之后， 你会在你的日常生活中， 其实会有很多的 事情会来 testing 你也好， 或者是，
correct, very good, 对，
或者是让你更 了解，
更深， 一段的了解， very good,
就像 我昨天去了 Salam Hospital， 因为我一个月会去一次， 去做一些 volunteer 的工作， 然后我跟一个培轩， 其实他是一个穆斯林， 然后他是一个 depressed 的培轩， 而且他是一个艾滋病人， 然后他看到我， 他就 complain 了一大堆， 然后等他讲完了之后， 我就问他， 那你怎么 当你在 out of control 的时候， 你怎么去克服它？ 他就愣住了， 然后我就说， 那你就跳， 因为他 他是穆斯林，他没办法，我没办法用
佛法
用、啊、对对对，我就说那你就中断
啊、
就出去走走，换一个环境，不要让你一直 focus 在那个地方。然后他就跟我说他身体很，因为他是艾滋病了，
对对对，
他身体很不好。我就跟他说、你知道吗，麦跟伯迪是两回事、
对 very good。
他睁大眼睛看我哎、说麦跟伯迪怎么会是两回事
呀、两回事。
我说你试试看、下次当你心情很好的时候，你会不会觉得你很虚弱？或者是说，当你很虚弱的时候，你试着想很快乐的事情，你会不会更觉得痛苦？不会，所以变成我用 normal
方便法、
对对对、
方便法。
然后其实，在跟他讲的过程中，我自己也很怎么讲？有时候那个讲法我其实没有想过，
对，
可是我就很自然的这样子告诉他，
因为 at the thought level you yourself will be amazed how can I speak like that well, when the Dhamma is inside、when the condition is there it will flow, it will come out and I tell you a lot of the thing that I share it just flow out from here, that's why I know. So in the early day I used to have this amazing I said, how did all this Dhamma come out? So much of it, I never learned this life. Well, during the early day when I connect, I didn't know. I didn't understand. Then later on, I start to understand. Because it's all from the past. Then like now, Hui Rong, because she also overcome a lot of her problem earlier on, then she has a lot of understanding by now, a few years already.And because of that understanding, she can use her own word to actually explain a situation to let people feel better and help them understand how to come out of that depression. Like she explained just now, she said, to that lady who is of a different faith, she said, when you are suffering, because that lady is in depression and have HIV, I think, AIDS, So he said, I got this sickness, HIV, he said, I'm suffering. My mind state is miserable. I'm suffering, he said. I felt very miserable and a lot of difficult mind states because of the fear, the worry, the anxiety, the misery that she go through. Then Hui Rong just listened attentively.Then help her to overcome it by just suggesting one thing to her. Do you know, he tell her, that our body is a body. Mind is mind. The two are separate entities. Then she stare at her. Like first time, don't believe, How can the mind and the body be separate? But she cannot use the Buddha Dhamma because it's a different religion.He cannot quote the Buddha. That's why the Buddha said, if your body is sick, do not allow your mind also to be sick. So she gave a very good, skillful means. She explained it this way. She said, when you are very, very unhappy, if you avoid paying attention to this unhappy thing, you think of the happy moments or happy aspect of life. There are so much more things to life.When you have this happy mind, you will not experience the negativity of mind state at that time. Your body is still the same, still have HIV, but then your mind state can be different. That's why when there is understanding, there is acceptance, there is this ability to actually bring about positive thought. That positive thought will condition positive emotion and feeling.Like faith, love, that's why metta is very good. Then the faith, when you have faith, you become very calm, very peaceful. Then your mind state become very beautiful. Then also she gives the other side of the example. Is that when you are very happy because of certain things, then you realize the moment your mind, through memory, recall your HIV and your problem, then you become sad again, miserable again.So the mind is subject to the mind's inclination, if you are inclined towards suffering, towards problem, towards the wrong thought, then the mind's inclination will condition you to be in those mind state, and you will suffer. You will have fear, worry, anxiety, misery. But if you incline on goodness, wholesomeness, kindness, joy and happiness, then your mind states become beautiful. Like she, every month, she go there to help people. She felt very good. Because this is what the mind that has love, compassion and understanding will do. And they do with understanding. They were not like other people. Hey, these people got AIDS, no, you dare to go there. Then the selfish thought will actually prevent you from going there. Yeah. But this one, because it's voluntary, is it under their program? Selayang Hospital? 这个是他们的一个program还是什么? Or 你 just join them? Yeah.
不是，这是一个 hospital society，
然后它是一个 society
啦。苏莱布洛跟斯拉扬让他们这个 society
进去。哦，good，good，good，所以这是一个 society help them 啦，不是慈济啊。哦，不是啦。啊 ，hospice 啊，啊 hospice 啊，yeah，in fact a lot of Kayamita are with the hospice. Yun Chan they also last time Stephanie also. Huh? Where is Stephanie? Gone already. Yeah. How many of you heard of hospice before? Oh, see. Maybe you're involved before not hospice, no, you heard about it. In fact a lot of Buddhists they actually help out in the hospice. But you must have that what they call past affinity and all this thing, understand? Because there are time to do certain thing at certain time. Not always everybody must do the same thing. If you have that past affinity and condition, then you will go there and you will help out. Yeah, this is what you have been doing. And this is what your nature will know. You will go and do. But different time, you do different thing. Then you have a different role to play. That's why I used to tell people, everyone is different. You don't have to just because Brother Teo say this, then I must go and do this. Then this one is... You heard it, understand? Then you become like conditioned by it, then you want to do it. You have to find out for yourself whether you have that affinity, that understanding, the past conditioning or not. If you have, you will know one, like the kid. If they have this talent, let's say past life, they like to play piano or any musical instrument. So when they are young, when they hear this musical instrument, suddenly, no matter how active they are doing what, they suddenly become quiet. And so, then they will listen attentively. Then they will walk there. And then you know your kid got this past affinity. And then you should actually nurture them. Then talk to them. You like this music? Okay, I take you to the shop. Then we enroll you. Then the talent will unfold. There are a lot of such things happening. That's why you have to be sensitive, you have to be attentive. Then you can feel for your children. Then you can actually allow them to connect early, grow faster in whatever they aspire to do from the past life. Then you understand everyone is different. That's why you will move into different things differently. That's why at the age of about time 1971. I was only 15 years old when I understand science, geography. Then I looked into the sky. Then I saw the star and I knew each and every of these stars was a potential sun or bigger. No? Then I started to inquire, no? Who am I? What am I? Why am I in this world? How can I understand such immensity of the universe? The mind just broke. Nobody taught me. My school teacher also never taught me. It's just when the moment I understand science, geography, then the mind broke, inquire. Then I like to lie in the open sky and I look at the sky. with all the stuff, then this inquiry just arises. Then I came to one conclusion. I can only understand if I meditate. I also don't know how that thing come. Nobody, that time I don't even know what is meditation. But I like to see this Chinese sword fighting show on Kung Fu. I like to see the hermit or the master in the cave. Shenhe Shenze in the cave. They like meditate. Then they understand. Then they learn all this thing, the mystical thing. So I thought that was the only way to understand. Then I just leave it at that. I say, my thought at this level cannot understand. I have to meditate deep into the nature. Then that time, it's like I knew there is something beyond the thought, beyond the mind. Then I just leave it at that. Until I reach Form 6. Then when in Form 6, lower 6, somebody gave me a book. Chief Reverend wrote Buddhist belief. What Buddhist belief? The first edition, no, the red color one, very much thinner. I think 1/3 the thickness. Then I flicked through. I was full of joy. I saw in the introduction what my mother do was all the Chinese culture and tradition, nothing to do with Buddhism. No. Then I got so interested. I look at what is Buddhism. Then he explained the essence of the Buddha's teaching, the Four Noble Truths. The moment I read the Four Noble Truths, wow, inside here, straight away tell me, this is what you have been looking for. No need to search. Nobody in this world or universe 2,000 over years ago can summarize all of his understanding of life into just this Four Noble Truths. That's why the moment I saw that Four Noble Truths, I knew it was the secret of life. All of life. Mundane and supramundane, all inside there. Nobody in this universe can have that understanding. Then my nature even say, if I were to become enlightened like the Buddha, I cannot summarize all my understanding into just one good truth. That's why the mind is so different. That's why everyone is different. This nature come like that, it do things like that. So what Hui Rong share is very beautiful. We should rejoice. Sada, sada, sada. 很好. 还有什么? Continue.
Actually, 其实我去了好几年了, 然后我甚至, 本来还跟我老公说, 我觉得我好没用, 我好像不知道是去干什么的, 我好像没办法做什么, 然后, 可是昨天这样我就, 至少让我很有信心, 因为那个病人跟我说, 其实他在病房, 晓得已经很多次, 很情绪失控了,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
可是他第一次, 听到我这样子跟他说, 他, 他决定试试看,
然后他觉得,
他还是很, 很有希望,
yeah, 很有希望,
所以, 所以我也很高兴, 他也很高兴,
傻的, 很好, 很好。 因为 the reason why it can happen is because you are very sincere, and she can feel your sincerity. You are not just there to motivate her or encourage her, because you are very sincere, and you believe in what you say. That's why she felt. Then she reflect and she tried, and it helped her. It's your ability to express it, because when you have the cultivation, you are very different. That's why I realized the last 12 over years after I came out, I don't know what happened. No. Anyone who come, he may not have any Dhamma or don't believe any of this rubbish. But the moment they had the condition to come, the moment they sit down and after they explain their situation, then I ask a few questions, then I start to explain. They listen, very strange. And not only they listen, they like feel something that this person is different. This person really had the understanding. But not everyone has the karmic conditioning to receive this type of teaching. Because sometimes the karmic obstruction is too strong. So they have to actually break the karmic obstruction first, otherwise cannot.
That's why I use this word of caution is unless they want to come, don't bring them. Otherwise, it not only doesn't benefit, it may also have repercussion and all those things. But so far, so good. Almost all of them, they actually listened and they felt it's different and it benefited many of them. And most of these people are in severe depression. Actually, very difficult to talk to them already. Some you can't even talk to them. Their loved one came and all this thing. Very good. 很好. Sadhu. 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 So it's almost coming to 2 hours. Any more question? One more maybe. Otherwise we can end. Just now we started about 1:20. Now it's about 12 more minutes. Okay, if no more questions, then maybe we end. We shall do the usual sharing of merits and transfer of merits. Then you make your aspiration. Okay, sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakantu loka sasana. Ita wata camihi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati sidiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyateyo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyateyo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyateyo imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the holy ones.